2 Kings chapter 8, we want to look at the first 6 verses of this chapter, Lord willing. But in verse 1, we read, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go thou in thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. In Italy there is a harbour, and in that harbour, this harbour can only really be accessed through a very, very narrow and tricky channel. This narrow channel, however, it is lined with dangerous rocks. So I'm sure you can imagine, if you're the captain of a ship and you're steering that ship and you have to go through this narrow channel before you can get to the harbour, and maybe you come in the middle of the night, I'm sure that you can imagine it would be extremely difficult to navigate down this small and narrow channel. Recognising this danger, the authorities, they placed 3 special lights in the harbour at the end of the channel. And these lights, of course, well, their task was to guide the vessels through this difficult channel. But in getting through the channel, however, the captains, they're not to come to one light and then to come to the next light and come to the next light. Rather, as they go through this narrow channel, they are to look at these lights, but these lights are to all be lined up so that they really appear just as one. They must be perfectly aligned. The captain knows then that if he can see all 3 lights, then he is not going the right way. Perhaps he might hit a rock in this narrow channel. And so the task of these lights, they are to steer, they are to navigate, they are to guide these captains as they steer their ships through the narrow channel. And when we think of that, we think of guidance. Guidance is something that you all need. And yet I'm sure, like the captains at times, something that you have all struggled with at different junctures in your life. Well, here in these opening verses in 2 Kings chapter 8, you're given a little insight into the issue of guidance in the life of the Shunammite woman. Now this lady, she should be immediately familiar to you. Verse 1 tells us that Elisha spake unto the woman whose son he had restored to life. So immediately here's Elisha, and he's speaking to a lady who he has met before. We find out about her in 2 Kings chapter 4. We learned about her in our earlier studies. You remember how she lived in a small farming town or village named Shunem. And Elisha, well, he was accustomed to pass through that little village, that little farming town, on his journeys through Israel. And after a little while, the lady, well, she came to Elisha, and she invited Elisha into her home. This continued for a while, and then she decided that she would build an extra room onto her home to allow Elisha to stay there as he was traveling through that town. Well, here we find this lady. She has an issue, and her issue very simply is this. Her issue is that she needed guidance. It seems that reading through these verses, and especially the verse 1, there is the absence of the mention of a husband. And therefore we can deduce, and most Bible commentators agree, that by now her husband has passed away. So the only really real source of joy and delight in that home was the little child who had been given to her by Elisha. That child, of course, who the Lord had taken for a while, but then, of course, the Lord had given back through the instrumentality of Elisha. The Lord, of course, he had raised that child again back to life. So here is this lady, this great woman of Shunem, as she was described in 2 Kings chapter 4. And now, having lost her husband, now there is another trial that comes her way. Elisha comes to her and he tells her that very soon, the place where she lives, it is going to experience famine. And he warns her that she is to leave the land because of the famine. And if she doesn't leave the land, then obviously there are going to be repercussions. However, after this famine was over, after the 7 years of famine, and she migrated for a season to the land of the Philistines, the land of Philistia, whenever she then returned back to her house after 7 years, she found this. She found something. She found that there were individuals, and they were actually living in her home. And they had commandeered her house. And they had also commandeered and taken over her land. And so she presents her case to the king of Israel at that time. And as she presents her case of someone coming and taking her home and taking her land, there was a wonderful providence there that occurred as she was pleading her case before the king. And so here we are reminded this morning, for all of you who know and love the Lord, that just like this lady, the will of God, it doesn't exclude difficulties. Rather, the will of God sometimes includes difficulties. Affliction is woven into its fabric. Here was a lady, and she was a godly lady. In 2 Kings 4, as I have mentioned, she is described as a great woman. She was a well-respected lady in Shunem. She was an honorable lady. She had also exhibited great faith. When she lost her son, you remember how she saddled an ass and she rode as hard as she could, and she came to Elisha. And of course, Elisha, he wanted to send Gehazi to try and raise her son. But of course, she wouldn't let go. She came to Elisha again, and she asked Elisha to raise her son to the dead, from the dead. Here was a woman of great faith. But that didn't preclude her from the trials and miseries of this life. And child of God, it's the same with you. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all that live godly in Christ shall endure or suffer persecution. And this morning, just because you're saved, and just because you're resting in Christ, and you're redeemed by Jesus Christ, and even perhaps you're seeking to go on and to progress in your Christian life, like I'm sure this lady was, that doesn't mean that difficulties won't come your way. That doesn't mean that as you desire to press on and to follow hard after the Lord, and even do His will, that trials won't come. That trials won't pass your way. Yet, there will always be the hand of providence in it all. There will always be the guiding hand of God to take you through it. Because remember, the Lord, He has orchestrated, He has planned, He has designed that difficulty, that trial would come your way. Just like this woman of Shunem. And so the Lord guides you. Even in the midst of affliction, the Lord, He makes a way. He guides you. He directs you in the midst of affliction. And so this morning, I want us just to look at this incident here in the life of this woman under the simple heading, the guidance of God. The guidance of God. I want you to think firstly with me, thinking about God's guidance. Think with me about its revelation. It's revelation. God, he revealed His will to this lady. Verse 1, we read, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go thou in thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years." Here is a lady, and it seems that it's just now her and her son. This little boy that had been given to her, and this little boy who had been taken from her and then given to her again, it really seems that this was the only earthly source of joy for this lady. She's now alone in her home on the family farm in Shunem. And Elisha all of a sudden comes to her, and he reveals the will of God for this lady and her son's life. And it's very, very interesting when you look at verse 1, because the Lord is very, very specific in the details that He gives to this lady of Shunem. For example, He tells her the reason that they are to leave their home in Shunem. The answer, of course, it's very, very simple, because there was a famine. Verse 1, "For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years." So He comes to this lady. And the famine hasn't occurred yet. As far as she's concerned, all is going well, crops are in the field. But the Lord comes to her and he tells her there's going to be a famine. And it's going to be for 7 years. And because of this famine, you are to leave your home. So he tells her that why she is to move. And he also even tells her how long the famine is going to last. He tells her that the famine is going to be for 7 years. He also tells her that she is to take her son. Verse 1, arise and go thou and thine household. We can only deduce that the only other person in her household is her son. So he tells her very specifically, it's not just you. You are to take your son as well, and you are to go. You are to leave this land, and you are to go to another. He even tells her other details. He tells her when she is to go. Verse 1, arise and go. And it seems that in spite of the fact that all is going well at this time, and while she couldn't visibly see the famine before her eyes, yet she is to go now. So the Lord is very, very detailed in the information that he gives to this lady. But at the same time, whilst he gives her much by the way of information, the whole picture was not laid out before her. For example, he doesn't tell her where she is to go. If you look at it very, very carefully again, he tells her, sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. So he tells her to leave Israel, to leave Shunem. But he doesn't tell her where to go. He simply says, look, you go wherever you can find a place to go. Also, interestingly, if you think about this carefully, he doesn't tell her when she is to return. Now he tells her that the famine is going to last for 7 years. But if you read verse 1 again carefully, you will discover that he doesn't tell her that she is to return after the famine of 7 years. So I want you to really see this. Whilst the Lord, through the instrumentality and agency of Elisha, whilst the Lord gives her very, very specific instructions, he doesn't give her the whole picture. He tells her to leave a land because there's going to be a famine for 7 years, to go now to take your son. But he doesn't tell her the whole picture, doesn't tell her when she is to return to her home. Yes, he guided her in an individual fashion, in a specific fashion, but she wasn't told absolutely everything. And this is how God guides. Whilst God guides specifically, he also guides gradually. With God, it is inch by inch and step by step. A child of God, the Lord does guide you very, very specifically. You think of the manual that you hold in your arms this morning, the Bible. There are specific requirements as to how you are to live your life every single day. There are guidelines as to how you are to evangelize. There are guidelines as to how you are to pray. There are guidelines as to the fact that you are to attend the house of God and remember the Sabbath day. There are very, very specific guidelines in Scripture. And yet at the same time, that does not mean that the Lord reveals to you the whole blueprint of the will of God for your life. Yes, there is the guidelines of Scripture, but at the same time, there is also the autonomy of the believer. You are enabled to take these guidelines and to apply them and their precepts and principles to your everyday situation. Sometimes even the Spirit of God can come and give you specific burdens and promptings. It's specific to you. It's individual to you. The Spirit of God, he's within all of the hearts of the people of God. But at the same time, there are times when the Spirit draws very, very near to you and guides you in a very, very specific way, and perhaps a way that he may not guide anybody else. Also, there are times when believers can be used to guide you. Maybe you're a young believer and you're wanting advice, you're wanting guidance. Well, sometimes an older believer can come along your path, and it's providential. And that's maybe just encourage older believers, to encourage younger believers, and to help them learn from your experience. And sometimes even an older believer or another believer, they can come along and they can give you a specific piece of advice. The Lord guides you specifically through all these means. But yet at the same time, like this woman of Shunem, the Lord doesn't reveal his entire plan for you all at once. Now, he knows the plan. He has devised the plan. He is the great architect of the will of God for your life. He knows the plan. He's drawn it up already back in eternity past. And yet at the same time, it's revealed to you like this lady in a gradual manner. Proverbs 4 verse 12 states, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." The phrase there, "thy steps shall not be straitened," in the Hebrew it could be understood this way, step by step. In other words, Solomon here is saying, as he writes guidelines and precepts and principles for the people of God in Israel at that time, as you walk step by step, your steps will not be straitened. You'll not stumble as you go step by step and gradually with God and walk with God. Then he will open up the way for you. Then he will remove the obstacles in your path. You think of the children of Israel as they were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. The Lord, if you actually look at the geography of it, the Lord led them for 40 years in circles. They just went round and round and round and round and for 40 years in circles. But the Lord, he led them nonetheless, step by step. There was in the midst of the congregation, there was the tabernacle. And coming up from the tabernacle, there was the cloud by day and the fiery pillar by night. And whenever that moved, that cloud or that fiery pillar, whenever it moved, that was then a signal for the children of Israel to move. I would even suggest to you this morning that if the Lord had come to the children of Israel in the wilderness and said, "For 40 years you're going to go round in circles," they would have rebelled against the will of God. And yet the Lord, in his sovereign prerogative, that was his will for them, to teach them lessons in the wilderness. Again then, as the new batch of Israelites, as they entered into the promised land in the book of Joshua, and the command was given to conquer Canaan, the heavenly, or the picture of rest, the picture of heaven. The Lord didn't reveal to them the plan all at once, or the blueprint. He comes to them, and in the opening chapters, he says to them, "Cross over the Jordan." And then as they cross the Jordan, he tells them, "Go up to Jericho and conquer the city of Jericho." And then as they conquer the city of Jericho, they then are told, "Go and conquer the city of Ai." And it was as they fulfilled one obligation that the Lord then led them to the next. You see, whilst God guides you personally, he also guides you progressively. It's little by little, one step at a time. Maybe you're looking direction this morning. Maybe perhaps you're even a little bit frustrated. You want to know the way ahead. You want to know clear direction, clear guidance. Well, remember, the Lord, he doesn't reveal everything to us at once. Sometimes he reveals enough to us, just like this woman, for us to step out in obedience. And then he reveals a little bit more. And then he tells us a little bit more and gives you a little bit more information. He leads you step by step. Christopher Columbus was an Italian navigator who was commissioned by the Spanish monarch to pioneer and discover new lands. And someone pointed out rightly that whenever Christopher Columbus set out for America, he hadn't a clue where he was going, didn't know where he was going. And whenever he arrived at America, he didn't realize he was in America. And whenever he came back from America, he didn't realize then that he visited America. But we know today that he visited America. We know because of information that is given to us today, through all of his accomplishments. And the will of God's like that. Sometimes we don't know the way ahead. And you cannot discern the will of God. And sometimes you just have to go out in obedience and go in faith. And then as you look back, you can say, every way the Lord has led me, or the Lord he has guided me that way, he has guided me there. I have known his distinct will, even as you look back. And so thinking about the guidance of God, there is its revelation. I want you to see secondly here, its obligation. Its obligation. Verse 2, we read, the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now, as I've already said, this lady, while she was told many details, she wasn't given the whole picture. The command was simply, arise and go and leave this place, take your son and go wherever you can find somewhere to stay. Now, this would have been very, very difficult for this lady. At this point, it seems that the famine hadn't commenced. So if you imagine the Lord comes to this lady and tells her, look, there's going to be a famine, but you look outside, you look in your own field, and there are still crops. Well, you'd be questioning perhaps all of this. Also, Shunem was very, very dear to her. She loved that little farming village or town that perhaps she was probably reared in, or at least she married into at any rate. She loves Shunem. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 4, before the Lord gave her a son, and she had been faithful to Elisha, she invited him and Gehazi into her home. And Elisha and Gehazi's servant, they come together and they say, what can we do for this woman to repay her for her faithfulness towards us? And in 2 Kings 4, verse 13, we read there, what is to be done for thee? They come to this lady. They ask, what do you want? Whatever it is you want, under God, if we can, we will give it to you. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And listen to her answer. She answered, I dwell among mine own people. Here's the Lord, and he's giving her a blank check. He's saying, look, if there's some special request you want, even before the very king himself, we'll grant it for you. And you know what she says? She said, I'm fine. I want for nothing. I dwell amongst mine own people. You see, she loved her hometown. She loved the little farming village of Shunem. And now she's told she must leave it. She must bring her son. And she must go somewhere else, and she must leave her friends and go to an unknown and a foreign land. And she doesn't know all of the information. Yet, she obeyed. She obeyed. The command was, arise and go. And immediately she went. She rose up. Verse 2 tells us that she rose up and she went forth. And she obeyed the command of God through Elisha. You see, whilst it's one thing to have the revelation of the will of God, it's another thing to respond to it, to implicitly obey and do. Guidance takes many forms. Sometimes it's the general tenet of Scripture. Sometimes, as I've said, God can speak through people. Sometimes God can speak through the promptings of the Spirit. But it's one thing to have the will of God revealed to you, even at least in a partial manner. But it's another thing to do it. It's another thing to obey it. It's another thing to say, look, Lord, you've said, rise up and go. And Lord, I don't know all of the information. And Lord, I can't plot a way ahead. And Lord, I'm struggling to understand what you are doing at this moment in my life. But nonetheless, Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. I can't understand why you would do this right now, and I can't put all of the pieces together in the great jigsaw of the plan of God. But nonetheless, Lord, I'm going to go, and I'm going to obey. When he speaks to you through Scripture, through his servants, through even the Spirit, how do you respond when confronted by the will of God? Are you submissive or aggressive? Are you apathetic? Or are you willing and obedient? You're saying, Lord, thy will, nothing more, and nothing else. The will of God, in thinking about the life of Paul, the Lord revealed to him very, very specifically during his missionary journeys that if we were to go to Jerusalem, that he would be tied up and even imprisoned. And in Acts 21, those whom he was traveling with, they came to him and they said, "Paul, don't go. Here it is, it's revealed to you that, and it was through prophecy, the prophetesses, they came and they spoke of how he would be chained and give him an object lesson and so on. And there was a very, very vivid depiction of the will of God. And these believers, mature believers, they came to him and they said, "Paul, don't go. Don't go. If you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. You're going to be tied up." And yet, Paul was determined to do the will of God. And we read in Acts 21, verse 14, "When he," that's Paul, "would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" And they realized, this is the will of God. This is the will of God for Paul. And we're not to try and persuade him any longer. And they ceased, and they said, "Look, Lord, the will, your will be done." Is it any wonder then why Christ teaches his people and his disciples to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? And the Lord teaches you to pray that way. That's a pattern for how you are to pray as a believer. The will of God, it's planned and it's devised in heaven. "Thy will in heaven, Lord, do it on earth. Lord, do it in my life. Lord, do it today. Lord, make me willing." When faced with the will of God, we are to face it with compliance, not defiance. To comply with his revealed will. I wonder, like this lady, can you say, "Lord, I don't understand it all"? And even when sometimes the Lord speaks to you in Scripture, and there's that very definite prompting, I should do this thing, I should go to that person, I should do that thing that the Lord is impressing upon my mind. Have you that spirit like this lady? Lord, of fears, of worries, of doubts, but Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey. You know, there was an old sailor who was renowned for repeatedly getting lost at sea. His friends were always frustrated, always had to come and rescue him, get in their own boats and come and bail him out, so to speak. And so they decided they'd all pitch together and get him his own compass. They gave him the compass, and they hoped that the next time that he went out that he would use it and he wouldn't get lost. But of course, as usual, he got hopelessly lost. And finally, when he was rescued by his friends, they said to him, "Why didn't you use that compass that we gave you? You could have saved us a lot of trouble." And the sailor responded this. He said, "I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north. But as hard as I tried to make the needle aim in that direction, it just kept on pointing southeast." And you know, when you think of the will of God, we are not to impose our will upon his will. Rather, we are to conform our will with his will. If the Lord says, "Go southeast," then we are not to try and impose our will and say, "Lord, I'm going north." We're to obey. We're to obey. So it's revelation, it's obligation. I want you to see thirdly here, it's aggravation. It's aggravation. Thinking about the guidance of God, we read in verse 3 that it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. 7 years had now passed of famine. And it seems that the famine, as the Lord had promised through Elisha, it indeed had ceased. Now, I want to suggest to you that in these intervening 7 years, this lady has heard absolutely nothing from Elisha. There is nothing to suggest in Scripture that she has heard from him. So she has heard absolutely nothing. And remember, the guidance was, you go to another land, you stay there, and then that was it. There was no guidance as to when and how she should return home. But this lady, well, she uses common sense. The famine is now over. She perhaps gets word in Philistia that the famine is over in Israel. And so she decides this. She decides, well, the famine is over. I am going to arise now and return home. Now, as she returns home, and already enduring the difficulty of having to leave all that was dear to her, and even enduring 7 years of silence, not a word from God, not a word from Elisha, she would have probably expected that when she went home, that all would have been well. She would return to her home, and she had been obedient to the Lord. She had risen up. She had went at his command. So she's probably expecting all will be well when she returns home. But when she returns home, she discovers that someone else has commandeered her house. That's why in verse 3 we read of her crying to the king for her house and for her land. Someone has just moved in. They perhaps have thought, well, this lady, she's gone. She's never coming back. So we'll just take her house and we will take her land. So here is this lady. She's been patient. She has endured 7 years of difficulty, 7 years of hardship, and 7 years of silence, relative silence from God. And yet when she returns from obeying the will of God, she would have felt as though perhaps she had been abandoned by God and she would have been disappointed and she endured trial. You see, God's will is not free from issue, but rather it is often fraught with issue. Doing God's will often brings at times more issues than solutions. Perhaps you're there today. Perhaps you're like this lady. Say to preach, I've been faithful. I've followed hard after the Lord. I've been obedient to him. There are times when I haven't known the full plan, that I couldn't haven't seen the full way ahead. But nonetheless, I've been faithful. And yet I'm in the midst of affliction. I'm in the midst of difficulty. I've been obedient, and yet when I have been obedient, I've went at the will of God. I face more problems, more hiccups, more issues than I ever could have imagined. Does it seem perhaps that Providence has dealt you a hard blow this morning? Is the enemy whispering in your ear, this is what you get for obeying God, nothing but disappointment, nothing but discouragement, nothing but trial and tribulation? This is where this lady was at this point in time. Again, you think of Job. Job speaking of his experience, we read in Job 23, verses 8 and 9, behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job said, I went forward. I went left, I went right, I went backward, but I couldn't see him. I couldn't perceive him. I couldn't feel his presence. It was as if the heavens were as brass to me. And yet just a few verses later he said this, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, verse 14, and many such things are with him. And here's Job, he says, I tried to go left, right, I tried to go forward, I tried to go backward, but it all seemed futile and hopeless. And yet he has to exclaim it in the very same breath, these things were appointed. These things were predetermined. These things were all part of the plan and will of God. Indeed, in writing to believers under pressure, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the believers in Thessalonica, they were persecuted tremendously for their faith. You read about this in Acts chapter 17 and the opening 10 verses. And there were individuals and they were literally coming and persecuting believers and coming into their homes and making life very, very difficult for them. What does Paul say? This is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Problems are not apart from God's will. They are a part of God's will. They're part of his plan and purpose. And like this lady, the Lord was just continuing to lead her out in faith, and it's exactly the same with you. He's bringing you along gently. Wonder today, can you say like Job, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. Yes, no matter the difficulty that comes my way, I'm still hanging on, and I'm still following hard, and I'm still reaching out, and I'm still trying as best I can to progress with him. Because there is one last thought here. Thought about revelation, obligation, aggravation. I want you to see lastly here, it's intervention. Verse 5, we read, it came to pass. As he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. So this lady, she came to plead her cause before the king. That's what you did in Bible times. You pled your legal case, your difficulty, at the city gate or sometimes even before the king. And as she comes to plead her case before the king, someone's in my house, someone's taken over my land. Who's there? Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. And what are they talking about? What are they discussing? Verse 5, he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life. He was talking about this very lady. He was telling the king of the great doings of Elisha. Oh, I was with Elisha, Gehazi said, and he came to a lady, and he gave her a son. Then that son passed away, and he restored that son, and raised that son to life. And then the Shunammite woman, she comes, and she walks in the front door, and she pleads her cause to the king. And this would have been given her tremendous favor before the king. And the king intervened. Verse 6, we read that he appointed an officer. He not only restored to her her house and her land, but this officer then was to, verse 6, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. In other words, she got her house back. She got her land back. But also, the crop that she would have yielded, even if the famine didn't occur for 7 years, that was all given back to her as well. It was restored to her through the instrumentality of Elisha. And remember this, that the chaos of life is all under the control of God. He makes sense of the seemingly nonsensical. The Lord is in control. And he will, very, very soon, if it is his will, he will bring a wonderful providence. He will make a way of escape. He will intervene in a most marvelous fashion and a most marvelous way. The guidance of God. May the Lord bless these thoughts to your hearts this morning.